This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, delivered by Papa John's. Nothing goes better with football than Papa John's pizza. Just like sports, we're all about the best. From our signature all-natural tomato sauce and 100% mozzarella cheese, to our fresh toppings and fresh, never-frozen, hand-tossed dough. We use the best ingredients to give you better quality pizza. Order yours online today at papajohns.com, and remember, you can earn points towards free pizza and more when you enroll in Papa Rewards. Order, earn, eat, repeat. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for Week 11 is also teed up at the Eagles Golf Club, 813-920-6681, just north of Tampa Bay Downs, 36 holes of championship golf, high-quality golf courses, the Forest and the Lakes. I will be out there tomorrow for another great charity golf tournament. It is the Stash Clash to benefit male prostate cancer awareness. Played in this event last year and looking forward to being out there this weekend. Outings are always run very professionally by Courtney and Whitney and Brian and the terrific staff at the Eagles Golf Club. Also, of note, Technical Sergeant Olcott emailed me this past week from MacDill Air Force Base looking to create an outing to raise money for the Knuckle Buster in 2017, a huge banquet for some of the military personnel. I have already had Technical Sergeant Olcott talk to Courtney Fox, who is the tournament director at the Eagles Golf Club, and I have also offered to run Technical Sergeant Olcott's event from a game day operation standpoint at no charge to him sometime in February. Would love to see that event at the Eagles Golf Club. Courtney Fox has already talked to the Technical Sergeant. You can have your outing at the Eagles Golf Club as well, or just play a casual round by yourself with a friend or a foursome at a very reasonable deal. It's great bang for the buck when it comes to golf in the Tampa Bay area. 813-920-6681, 813-920-6681, one of my home courses, the Eagles Golf Club. We are at week 11. Good morning. As I record this very early on the morning of November the 18th, heading into week 11 in your season-long league, this should be your playoff push. You should have this next week and one more week to determine whether or not you are going to the postseason in most leagues. If you have a three-week playoff, if you have a two-week playoff, this is the beginning of a one-month playoff push. And obviously, in daily, we are just rolling one Thursday into Sunday, into Monday, into Thursday. And it continues to be fun for all those of us that love fantasy football. Let me give you some thoughts on some various players and incorporate matchups where necessary as we look at Week 11. I guess only appropriate that since I am recording this on early on Friday morning, November the 18th, I give you a thought on the Thursday night game from November the 17th and any conclusions that we draw going forward based on lineup, based on roster spots, on pickups, etc., from Carolina's victory over the New Orleans Saints. I think we see that Carolina is still going to be a factor in the NFC South. They're probably the best team in the NFC South. They just haven't had things go their way as things went their way so well last year in a 15-1 season. Newton's numbers certainly are down from a fantasy standpoint. Something that Michaels and Collinsworth talked about a lot on the broadcast last night, there is clearly an initiative for Newton not to run the ball as much, to not take as much of a pounding. That is good for Jonathan Stewart. That is also good for increased numbers for Kelvin Benjamin, who had a shoulder scare last night. Immediately, Devin Funchess came in, ran exactly the same routes, assumed the same role as Benjamin. Benjamin then ran series. Ted Ginn had a marvelous touchdown near the end of the first half. Ginn's targets have been pretty consistently, his catches have been pretty consistently around five as the number three target in Carolina the last five games. Last night was another example of how Ted Ginn is worth a waiver pickup, was worth putting in your lineup if you were losing, say, a Julio Jones on a bye week this week. Olsen really has only been shut down by a team that shuts down all opposing tight ends, that being the Kansas City Chiefs, which is bad news for Cameron Brate this week. From the New Orleans Saints standpoint, it was a down game for Drew Brees. Generally, his home road splits play out that way, similar to, say, a Kirk Cousins with home road splits. And there are other quarterbacks that fall into that category. It's not unique to just those two, but those two are exaggerated. Kobe Fleener did get in the end zone. That's the first time in about a month and a half. I wouldn't read too much into that since we're getting done with all the bye weeks at this point in the season. It was a second bad game for Michael Thomas after he had continued to ramp up to that two-touchdown game against the Niners 2 weeks ago. Cooks is still the clear number one target for Drew Brees, but the Saints remain an offense where you'd love to have a piece of the action, but it's hard to get one real, real big game out of someone other than Drew Brees. There was the Ingram injury that led to another big workload for Tim Hightower. That's 3 weeks in a row that Hightower has had a very big workload. Snead actually got more looks than Thomas in this particular game. That's what I draw out of New Orleans and Carolina from Thursday night. All right, looking ahead to Sunday and to Monday. Let's kind of go by position here. Well, I've already talked about a couple of tight ends, so let me just start there. Tough matchup for Cameron Brate. If you have him in a season-long league, I wouldn't. You know, tight end's not a position unless you're in a must-carry league where I think you worry too much about matchups. You just play your guy. And I own Brate in a season-long league. And while I could go out and pick up somebody else to play him, I'm still going to play Brate, even though Kansas City makes life difficult on opposing tight ends. I still think Winston is going to force balls to him, whether it works or not. And there will be a continued emphasis to get the ball to Brate just because Winston has little other choice in terms of his targets, especially in the red zone. I mean, it's basically Evans, Humphreys, and Brate. And not always in that order in the red zone. From another tight end standpoint, you got to continue to check the status of Gronkowski. The feeling all week is that he wouldn't play. There's a little part of me that senses he might. This isn't Greg Popovich here, where Pop is just going to rest a guy for the sake of resting a guy and saying that basically a game's not important. I don't think Bill Belichick looks at games that way. Both are extremely successful coaches, but basketball and football are a little different animals. It wouldn't surprise me if Gronk played, maybe on a pitch count, maybe not. Either way, Gronk or Martellus Bennett are great plays this week against the San Francisco 49ers. They're not the best New England Patriot play. We'll get to that, but they are great plays. If you can figure out who clearly is going to be the number one tight end this weekend in New England. And that's something that might go down until Sunday morning. But with Belichick, it is very, very tough to tell. If you get an out on Gronkowski, Bennett is definitely the play. If not, It's a decision that you ultimately have to make. If it's one of those where, like a week three, was it a week three or a week four situation where Gronk was healthy and barely got any snaps, and that's not a situation that you want at this point in the fantasy season. Trying to think of other tight ends that would necessarily move up or move down this week. I don't see too much in the way of exaggeration up or down on other tight ends. Will Ty continues to be a factor for a suddenly resurgent Eli Manning and the New York Giants. He was vultured at the tight end position by another player for a touchdown last week, but Ty seems very involved if you're desperate on the bye week to pick somebody up and say a Jack Doyle, who's actually been pretty good for the bulk of the season and staying ahead of Dwayne Allen in Indianapolis would be someone to plug in if you have lost a tight end due to a bye week or looking for a bargain in daily. Let's go to quarterbacks. According to Patrick Daugherty of Roto World, a very respected source, in terms of his rankings, the number one ranked quarterback this week, and remember, Matt Ryan is on bye, but Tom Brady is not, is Marcus Mariota. Mariota has been outstanding after being maybe the worst quarterback in the NFL the first month plus. Mariota, from a fantasy standpoint, has been on a five-week run that puts him probably in the top three with Tom Brady and with Matt Ryan. The numbers have been that good for Mariota. And it's not – one of the things about Mariota is he gets off to really fast starts, where we've seen slow start for Drew Brees last night, slow start for Matt Ryan against the Buccaneers, slow starts for Aaron Rodgers. You're not having that with Mariota. And even though this is a run-based offense, and Mariota can get you some run points, as you well know, Tennessee really does start quickly. And that is something that stands out in terms of Mariota's point production. In some smaller leagues, Mariota is someone who within the last few weeks was still available on the waiver wire. His daily price has still been so worth it in terms of buying him. He just stands out over these last 5 weeks, and this week is the number one quarterback play, according to Patrick Daugherty of Roto World. Andrew Luck, who came into the season as a top five quarterback play and has been outside that. Healthy offensive line, first time since the middle of September. Luck does hold the ball to try to make bigger plays. This may be good for Luck. This may be good for T.Y. Hilton. This may be good for Dante Moncrief, Jack Doyle. A healthy offensive line certainly doesn't hurt Frank Gore, who doesn't put up spectacular numbers. Keep that all in mind with your Colts plays this week. Mention the home road splits for Kirk Cousins. Cousins is in that situation this week, so we rank him pretty high as a quarterback play this week with others on bye. Cousins is fourth in the NFL in passing yards. Now, some of that is fourth in the NFL overall in passing yards. So you take advantage of the home road split and know that he still is performing. You can look at it two ways, saying, well, he must be performing decent on the road or he wouldn't be fourth in the league in yards, or he really is putting up huge numbers at home. Speaking of NFC East quarterbacks, Eli Manning, after a horrendous first month plus of the season, Eli has shown life. 7 of 15 touchdowns on the season in his last two games. Some of that is Beckham, but he got Sterling Shepard in the end zone last week. Will Ty is often the motion man for Eli. in getting that last look at whether or not a defense is giving you a man look or a zone look. Eli Manning, just the last couple of weeks, has been doing more. Some don't see a lot in it, but he might be someone you can stream this week. He might be a good daily buy this week. If he's someone who you didn't cut or you frustratedly just stashed away after starting him the first month, and he may be someone that you consider starting this week based on the play over the last couple of weeks. Also, this is a tough run for David Carr. Patrick Daugherty of RotoWorld has him actually outside the top 10 this week of quarterback plays, despite all his success and all the success of the Raiders. Carr, last we saw him in a tough matchup against the Denver Broncos, then the bye week, and then this week against the Texans. Broncos are number one in terms of limiting opposing quarterbacks and passing touchdowns, and Texans are number two. Also, this is a Raider home game that isn't a Raider home game. It is in Mexico. I don't think it's going to be a bad game for David Carr. This is just a tough stretch of the schedule. It affects him. It affects Michael Crabtree. Hard to know about Latavius Murray. We'll get to that in a moment. But just beware on David Carr. If you're a season-long owner of David Carr and you don't have a clear, better option, you obviously play David Carr at a daily price, unless the number is low. I would have caution, but it's not like I'm going to bench David Carr. And I always like having guys in season-long leagues on Monday night. I just do, to have an opportunity to increase my point total, to try and get that win. I know in some cases the game is already determined, but I always like having a guy go on Monday night. My point being, if you have, let's say you have one of my good friends, Dave Wirth, longtime Channel 10 sports anchor. He has Tom Brady and David Carr. He is obviously playing Tom Brady this week against the Niners. But if he if you have David Carr and say, give you an example that isn't too exaggerated. If you have David Carr and Ryan Tannehill, I don't see any reason why you play Tannehill and are scared away by the David Carr matchup, especially since Tannehill's numbers and volume are way down the last month because of how Ajayi has been running the ball for the Dolphins. On to running backs. Let me give you a thought before that. And again, thank my friends at the Eagles Golf Club. How about some golf at the Eagles Golf Club around the holidays? You know, the Thanksgiving break is one of the busier weekends for golf courses in the state of Florida. The Eagles Golf Club can better accommodate you than most golf clubs. Why? They have 36 holes of championship golf. So they have twice the inventory to get you out and get you a tee time for Thanksgiving or Friday or Saturday or for Sunday. The Eagles Golf Club is just north of Tampa Bay Downs. Hey, another thing that it's little things about golf properties that impress me and a lot of us. The Eagles Golf Club, I find it annoying when you play golf and you don't get a good cart. Now, I'm not a GPS snob. The Eagles Golf Club does not have GPS. That doesn't bother me. There are yardage markers on the course. But every cart has a windshield. Every cart has a club canopy if it rains to cover your sticks. Every cart has a ball washer. Every cart has a club washer and a club brush, very comfortable seats, and the carts work. Little things like that are not overlooked at the Eagles Golf Club. It is a good value. Rates have not increased looking ahead to the season as more of our friends from the north head down here to Florida to play golf for the coming months and for the holidays. You can get out at the Eagles Golf Club over the Thanksgiving break. 813-920-6681. 813-920-6681. The Eagles Golf Club, just north of Tampa Bay Downs. All right, on to the running backs. LeGarrette Blount, this week is the best Patriot play against the San Francisco 49ers. It has gotten to the point where anytime you have whoever the Niners play, their opponent is where you want to focus some fantasy attention, certainly in your season-long league and certainly in daily. LeBlanc is a top five running back play. It's not just because it's against the Niners. As much as you look at Tom Brady's numbers and are wowed and see MVP-type numbers, you know, it hasn't been to the point where we're trying to find that LeGarrette Blount game. Seems like every game, LeGarrette Blount gets his share. This could be a two-touchdown outing for Blount. Look, this could be one of those games where, let's say, pick your tight end, depending on Gronk's health. Gronk gets a tight end, or Bennett gets a tight end, or both of them get a touchdown is what I'm trying to say. And then it gets Edelman in the end zone. But to that point, you know, Blunt's been getting some good yardage. And then in the second half, they just run Blount. You know, they sit Gronk because of the lung. They have a two-touchdown lead, and they just want Blount to shorten the game, and he goes off in the second half. LeGarrette Blount is definitely a play this week in season-long and daily. There are players, and we love them, in fantasy that are matchup-proof. This is the latest test for Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys against the Baltimore Ravens. Dallas has a game at home. To this point, Elliott has been absolutely a matchup-proof running back. Look, even if he has an eh or down game against the Ravens, I think you give him a pass. But this is one of those tougher matchups. I'm not sure I'd be investing in Ezekiel Elliott daily in a season-long league. Yeah. Unless you're choosing between Elliott and Blount for some reason and your other running back is Le'Veon Bell against the Browns, I don't see any reason why you would sit Ezekiel Elliott. David Johnson has been matchup proof, but maybe the workload is catching up to him a bit. Averaging roughly in the 60s in yardage rushing the last few weeks, he still catches a ton of passes. This is a tough one for David Johnson owners those who love him in daily against the Minnesota Vikings. The 5-0 Minnesota Vikings are long gone, but I still have a feeling there's another chapter to this Viking team, and we might see that this week against Arizona, which has had some stinkers on the road, and Carson Palmer's had some bad games. It wasn't an easy game for the Cardinals against the Niners last week. Todd Gurley gets a new quarterback. I'm not sure what that means. It's not like he wasn't the focus of attention with Case Keenum. Some are expecting an increased workload for Gurley with Goff back there. I tend to think the opposite. I think Jeff Fisher is going to let Goff throw the ball, whether it's a check down Charlie type approach or he's going to let him throw it down the field because he's got some guys in Britton Quick that can get down the field. Dolphins run defense has been better in recent weeks. But overall for the season, it's bottom three. Gurley hasn't been a great option all year, but I highlight him this week. Something says this might be a decent spot just because things are different. He has a different quarterback. It's going to change things for Gurley, and any change might be good for Gurley owners. Welcome back, Thomas Rawls. If you drafted him and kept him, you've waited a long time to get points from Thomas Rawls. So how is Seattle going to use him as it relates to C.J. Procise? Nothing in the NFL is simple, but with Christian Michael gone, I don't think it takes long for Rawls to take over the bulk of the carries in Seattle. Procise, to me, looks like a third down and distance type back. Rawls is someone that thrives on a heavy workload. And once I think Seattle knows that Rawls can handle the workload, he could be in line for a big game, whether it's this week or next week. Because we saw this out of Rawls last year when he played for Marshawn Lynch. If you're a Rawls owner, as long as there's no other, and I don't think anything's going to bubble up because they dumped Michael, who was picked up by the Packers, you play him this week. In daily, I'd play him this week. If you're a ProSize owner, I'm not so sure that you can expect the pop that you got last week. So that's what I expect from Thomas Rawls. And the Eagles' run defense is not a deterrent. One more. Rashad Jennings is an interesting case. For the first time since week one, Jennings looked like he had actual fantasy value. Here's my issue with Rashad Jennings. He had three runs. It helped the Giants polish off the Bengals, but he had three runs. He's been in the end zone one time all season. It's still an offensive line that is a pass-blocking offensive line, not a run-blocking offensive line. I don't think three runs in the fourth quarter that get first downs. I mean, I think it just shows how bad the Giants' running game is when that impresses people. I've been a Rashad Jennings owner all year. I didn't use him last week. I'm not using him this week. As a matter of fact, I'm selling high on Rashad Jennings. Tread carefully in daily as it relates to Jennings on your own. Before we do the wide receivers and wrap things up, let me remind you and thank my friends at Papa John's. Nothing goes better with football than Papa John's pizza. Just like sports, we're all about the best. From our signature all-natural tomato sauce and 100% mozzarella cheese to our fresh toppings and fresh, never-frozen hand-tossed dough. We use the best ingredients to give you better quality pizza. Order yours online today at PapaJohns.com. Remember, you can earn points towards free pizza and more when you enroll in Papa Rewards. Order, earn, eat, repeat. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. I'm looking forward to trying that pan pizza. It's on special right now for $10. For pan pizza from Papa John's. Also, a programming note, my appearance on the Steve Dumig show on 620 WDAE and 620WDA.com. Big Dog is off for the short holiday week next week. I'll be jumping in with Pat and Jay, who are filling in for Steve next week. I'll be jumping in with them next Tuesday at 4 o'clock on 620 WDAE and 620WDAE.com. So if you enjoy my appearances on 620 WDAE, just note it will be on Tuesday next week at 4 o'clock Eastern because Thanksgiving is on Thursday. Okay, so wide receivers. I've already touched on some wide receivers. Yeah, as we said that the David Carr matchup versus Houston would be a tough one just because of the Texans' pass defense, but the volume should be there. And that's a real key. You want a high volume of snaps, like you get with the Arizona offense, like you get with the New Orleans offense, like you get with the Dallas offense. Because Brock Osweiler struggles so much, even though the Texans have Lamar Miller, they struggle to have long drives. And that leads to a high snap count for opposing offenses. So the volume should be there for Cooper and for Crabtree. Not really sure if Latavius Murray can back up what he did 2 weeks ago. Murray didn't have – it wasn't so much volume for Murray. He just hit pay dirt three times. Not a lot of running backs have done that all year. Don't expect another three-touchdown game from Latavius Murray, but at least it did show that he can still produce. He is the best back the Raiders have, but it's not no guarantee of another big, big game. The Raiders still do most of their work through the air. Allen Robinson Is he back in the wide receiver one conversation? I don't know if he's a top five play, but he sure looks like a top 10 play again. Remember, we had an O-core change in Jacksonville. I mean, the season is garbage time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Robinson, in his last three starts, has 40 targets. A lot of balls going his way. He's not catching them all because Bortles is inaccurate and Robinson has some drops. But the targets are there. I am an Allen Robinson owner by virtue of a trade that was offered me in my 10-team league very early in the season for Alshon Jeffrey. And I got out on Jeffrey before things got really bad for Chicago. Obviously, things got really bad for Jeffrey this week with a 4-game suspension. But yeah, I'd play Allen Robinson this week. I haven't played him in a month and a half. Julian Edelman should be right there with Blunt. And either Gronk or Bennett in terms of a quality play against the Niners. And Edelman is coming off a season high in yardage last week. Arizona-Minnesota. Stephon Diggs has had a couple of real good games as the Vikings have slid. Doesn't look like he's going to get immediate shadow coverage from Patrick Peterson. In the game against Arizona, and he is the best option Sam Bradford has. He is the best option the Vikings have for moving the football and scoring. And Rudolph is a distant second. Diggs might be a good daily play, and if you have a lot of wide receivers and they're about equal, Diggs might separate himself this week as someone who is worth playing in what otherwise doesn't look like a good matchup and on a Viking team that, look, while the Vikings aren't winning, Sam Bradford is throwing the ball a lot. Why? He's basically Matt Stafford. Who's going to run it? Now, we do have news that Adrian Peterson has started light running, but Peterson can't really be a factor until December, and it might be mid to late December. Golden Tate, speaking of targets. Hope you, like me, sold high on Marvin Jones. Golden Tate has 43 targets the last four games. Much like I just said with Bradford, he has to throw it because the Vikings can't run the ball. Neither can the Lions. Theo Riddick is a check status as a result of an injury. Tate is the number one guy in Detroit. Might not be getting in the end zone a ton, but he's getting a lot of balls thrown his way from Matt Stafford, albeit a lot of it is catch and run because Matt Stafford's yardage is significantly down over the last six games. In Green Bay, we could do an entire podcast on Green Bay as it relates to fantasy points. Up is Devontae Adams. Down is Ty Montgomery. James Starks, good luck predicting that week to week, but he's off a good game. And Randall Cobb, for the second straight year, looks like he's just kind of lost in this mix. And I think Devontae Adams has a lot to do with that. While Cobb is faster and more elusive than Devontae Adams, I think Rodgers just likes Adams' hands a little bit better, likes his Adams makes breaks a little bit better. In a way, and he's not this good, quarterbacks just like knowing I can throw it over there and this guy's either going to catch it or it's going to be incomplete. Like Tony Romo and Dak Prescott have had with Dez Bryant. Like Cam Newton has on those slant routes with Kelvin Benjamin. I don't think Aaron Rodgers feels that way about Randall Cobb, but he feels that way about Devontae Adams. And Adams will have some drops, but he's a big target. And at this point, Devontae Adams is a play over Randall Cobb. Let's talk about a couple of Matthews. Jordan Matthews' targets are way up in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz's numbers aren't necessarily good. Ryan Matthews is getting a lot of touchdowns in his new role as more of a short yardage back, a red zone type back. Not a bad thing to have in fantasy. But Jordan Matthews, I think it's gotten to the point for Doug Peterson where he realizes he doesn't have anything else. It's sort of like Mike Evans in Tampa Bay, where you've got one wide receiver that you is clearly better than anybody else. And that's why Jordan Matthews is getting the targets. Rishard Matthews continues to benefit from the surge of offense from Marcus Mariota. Granted, Tennessee is going to feed DeMarco Murray as much as they can, but they love the play action. When teams overcommit to DeMarco Murray, it benefits Delanie Walker, and it sure is benefiting Rishard Matthews. Matthews does seem somewhat touchdown dependent. He's not going to get you 150 yards, probably not going to get you 100, but right now Rishard Matthews is basically Doug Baldwin. He's going to get you a touchdown, even though the total yardage will be 50, 60, maybe pushing 70, but you'll take the touchdown, won't you? In a standard scoring lead, a touchdown plus 50 yards is 11 points. You got a number of wide receivers out there that'll do 70, 80, 90, 100-yard games. Do the math. That's a 100-yard game is a 10-point game in a standard scoring league. So, yeah, he's touchdown dependent, but he's getting the touchdowns, and he's a low price in daily. And finally, with Ajayi and the Dolphins sticking with this run-based offense, Jarvis Landry, and combine that with a shoulder issue. Really, over the last month, Jarvis Landry hasn't been the consistent PPR type play that we've come to expect from him. Tannehill's numbers are way down. Jarvis Landry's numbers are way down, and it also takes Kenny Stills way down the board as a touchdown-dependent DFS fantasy bargain. All right, that's all I got. Let's see. Talked about the radio. I've talked about golf. I've talked about Papa John's. I wish you well. Not sure how we're going to handle the podcast for next week. How about this? I'll tell you this in advance. Since we've got NFL on Thursday, why don't I do a special? Let's do a special Wednesday edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast pre-Thanksgiving Day. All right, we'll give you one on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We'll focus on the Thanksgiving Day games, and then we'll give you another one either Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning. All right, I know everybody's routines are thrown off by the holidays, so count on two podcasts next week for Thanksgiving. We'll give you one on Wednesday morning, and then we'll give you another one either Friday, but probably more likely on Saturday. We haven't done a Sunday morning podcast when you're really crunching to do your lineup. The Sunday morning podcast I would give you would be before the 11:30 inactives for the 1 o'clock game. But we'll either do you a Saturday or a Sunday morning podcast next week. Rather than a Friday morning podcast, since most people are going to be sleeping in off the tryptophan. All right. So that's the schedule for next week. Just sort of figured that out on our own. Remember, you can email me any questions you have about picking a guy up, starting lineups. I don't mind. Everyone who has emailed me, I have responded to this year. It's Todd Wright Golf, TODDWRIGHTGOLF@gmail.com. A gentleman even sent me a note on Twitter the other day. I responded and said, please email me. It's just quicker. I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter these days. It's just nothing against Twitter. It's just become not necessarily for me. I get it if you like it. I just prefer to stay off it. I am on there. You can find me there. But just email me, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. I will happily answer your fantasy questions as I have all year long. Thank you for listening to the Week 11 edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, delivered by Papa John's and teed up at the Eagles Golf Club.